before he died, that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And Father, in each one of our lives, there are hidden parts, there are parts that are not submitted to you. And I pray that one by one you would conquer them, and that you would rule our hearts, and that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith and take up residence in every part. Father, I pray that you would help us. Father, we believe that we are with the right person, Jesus, but oftentimes, we are confused. So help us as we come to your word, that you would help us understand it, but also help us to assimilate it into our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. We started this psalm last week, and we are going to be looking at the section 2 and 3, verses 9 through 24 today. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 24. These are God's words. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So Psalm 119 is a poem written to delight in God's word. This is not a dry dissertation on all the ways we can say word by looking it up in the Thesaurus. Psalm 119 is about how our hearts and our lives and our prayers join together with God and his word. Last week we found the blessing that comes from obeying God's word. That was the theme of verses 1 to 8, the first section. God's word is not just to be heard, but obeyed. Now, as we venture into these sections 2 and 3, we see verse 9 here connects to verses 1 to 8 with that same theme of obedience. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed. That taking heed is the same word as keep and guard that's used four times in the first 8 verses. We find that God, through this psalm, will poke and prod at all areas of our lives. In these two sections, we begin to see how God's word needs to take a central place in our hearts. But it's not like we are alone to understand, love, and obey God's word. It's like God says, here's my word, go have fun, I hope you can understand it. God is central in how we relate to his word, and that's great. It gives us great hope today. So today we're going to see how God helps us to understand his word. So we're going to trace two themes in our text today. Number one, our delight in God's word, and number two, our dependence on God's work. to understand his word. So number one, our delight in God's word. Now this whole psalm is filled, is this chock full of delight in God's word. But let's notice in our two sections, the delight the author has in God's word. Verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Verse 11, your word have I hidden in my heart. This word hidden is the idea of storing up treasure. Storing up God's word like treasure. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Verse 15, I meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways, mulling over God's word all the time. 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Not just, Lord, open my eyes so I can stay awake for the sermon. You know, it's a little bit more than that. It's like, open my eyes so I can see wonderful things in your law. Verse 20, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. So a heartfelt longing for the word. 23, princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. And then the last verse, your testimonies also are my delight. Here's two ways we can think about delight in God's word. First, delight starts in our hearts. You notice how verses 10 and 11 talk about the heart, seeking God with our whole heart and hiding his word in our hearts. The heart is the center of who we are as a person. The Bible talks about the inner person in several different ways. Soul, spirit, mind, will, understanding. Sometimes in the Old Testament, they'll use the word kidneys, or King James, reins, to talk about our deep thoughts. But heart is the all-encompassing term when I talk about the inner person, the core of who we are as humans. What goes on in our heart steers the course of our lives. So our heart can be directed toward someone or something or away from someone or something. That's the will. Our heart reasons and makes decisions. It's the mind. The heart feels. It's the emotions. The heart is how we relate to God, the part of us that lives forever, the soul and spirit. Because our hearts are affected by sin, we can deceive ourselves and think what goes on inside of us doesn't matter. As long as we can keep a good front in front of others, we're good. Everyone else thinks I'm good and clean. Well, I don't need to work on the heart. But in fact, what goes on in the heart directs the course of our lives. As Proverbs says, the heart is the wellspring of life. Jesus says that out of the heart comes all of our sin. I'm going to put it this way. One pastor shows the central part of the heart in this quote. What the heart most wants, the mind finds reasonable, the emotions find valuable, and the will finds doable. So that heart is central to everything we do. So God is not content until every part of our heart belongs to him. That's what we call sanctification. God working on our heart. Psalm 119 is getting at not behavior modification, but heart surgery. God wants our inner person to be aligned with his word. And that is not shown by an intellectual interest, but heartfelt delight. One pastor said it this way about Psalm 119. Yet not wit or memory, but the heart is the chest to keep scripture. Neither hearing nor reading nor reciting the holy scriptures will save us from false ways, unless with the heart we embrace whatever they teach us. Store scriptures in your heart and embrace them. So delight starts in our hearts. Secondly, delight is fueled by our focus. So you say, well, we're supposed to delight in God's word. That's the command and example of the psalm. But how do we know we're delighting in God's word? Well, one way we talked about last week is if we will obey it. If you're not obeying God's word, can you really tell me that you delight in it? Another is, what is our focus? What is our focus? We know when we're excited about something. Let's not kid around. Everyone gets excited in their own way, but everyone gets excited. And we know when we get excited about something. When we delight in something or get excited by something, we harness our energy to get that thing. This is how God made us. Let's pick on hunters. Hunters will get up before dawn to get into the woods and get their deer. Psalm 119:62 says, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments." And that's not the only one in Psalm 119. Verse 148, "My eyes are awake before the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promise." Let's put it this way. For what do we get up early, stay up late, drive far, and expend our energy? That is a helpful indicator of what we delight in. Another way we can tell what we delight in is this. What is your mind stewing on? What's going on in your mind? Now, let's be practical. We all have to think about things during the day that are mundane, like I'm washing the dishes, you know, or, you know, I have to take out the trash, or our jobs. We have to think about all sorts of things for our jobs or taking care of our kids, and those things aren't bad. But when we get a break, when we stop and have free space in our minds, what goes on in there? Verses 15 and 23 of our passage talk about meditating on God's word, musing over it, mulling it over, ruminating on it. Again, we think about many other things during the day, but when we have time and opportunity to think about something that we choose, what are we thinking about? And part of growing as a Christian is harnessing our minds and focusing them on Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." So that if we delight in something, we're going to focus on it or meditate on it. We meditate on what we delight in, and the more we focus on something, the more we delight in it, and the more it shapes us. So that's why we need to be careful what we think on. So how do I delight in God's word more? We'll start meditating on it more. And it's a cycle. The more we delight, the more we meditate, the more we meditate, the more we delight in it. See, dear friends, our love and our delight are always active. We're always delighting and loving something. The question is, what will it be? Now, companies and advertisers know this very well. Many commercials are created to make you ask, "Will this product make me happy?" And obviously the commercial will say, "Oh yeah, it will." One person said it this way: advertising is based on one thing, happiness. And you know what happiness is? Happiness is the smell of a new car. Can you agree with that? Now, maybe a new car doesn't do it for you. Maybe Pop will do it. Because Pepsi says, happiness is a choice. Coke says, on the other hand, open happiness. So, I mean, you don't have to have a Bible degree to figure this out. I mean, you can be an advertiser and know that we're always going to try for happiness. And the question is, where are you going to find it? And God's word is where we need to find our delight and happiness. So that's our delight in God's word. And secondly, I want to look at our dependence on God's work. Our dependence on God's work. So even as we work hard to meditate on and delight in God's word, we need his help to understand God, his word, and to delight in it. Now listen to these verses in our psalm today. Verse 10. "With my whole heart I have sought you." The second part. "Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." So what's he saying? He's saying, I need help. to obey, to live. Don't let me wander. 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes, which again, you'll see that a lot in this psalm. Teach me. Help me to understand. 17. Deal bountifully with your servant. Why? That I may live and keep your word. I need help to obey your word, God. Verse 18. Open my eyes. I need understanding that I may see wondrous things from your law. 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. So it's like, if God doesn't help us, we can't get it. And then verse 24, your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So two parts of dependence. So first, we depend on God for understanding his word. We depend on God for understanding his word. Again, throughout the psalm, the author's prayer is that God will teach him his word. And I love what verse 24 says. Your testimonies are my counselors. So this is like, think about when you're confused and you, it's like, I need to go ask Mr. or Mrs. so-and-so. I need to go to these people. They're wise people. They'll help me understand. And I feel that's what God's word is to us. They're like the people we go to when we need answers. But this is not where understanding stops. We need help. We need help to understand, but also to delight in God's word. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Like, not just understanding, but we need to see the, we need God's help to see the beauty of Scripture as well. So without it, without God's intervention in our lives, it's not going to, we're not going to delight in his word. I think this is very encouraging when we don't delight in God's word. Like, it doesn't seem like something we really want to do today. I don't really want to read my Bible today. Ask God to help you see the beauty of Scripture so that you want to read it and study it. So yes, this is a high calling to delight in Scripture, but God is here to help us. Second part of dependence is we depend on God for living according to his word. We need help understanding, delighting in, but also living out God's word. Verse 17, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. And the idea behind bountifully is God fully supply everything that I need so that I can live for you. Fully supply everything I need to live for you. I want you to imagine with me today two detectives who are trying to crack a cold case. And all they have are boxes and boxes of files to sift through. You can imagine a really big table. There's papers everywhere. And they are diligent, putting in long hours to understand the case and find the perpetrator. Hour after hour, file after file, cup after cup of coffee, they press on. They work late into the evening, and one detective falls asleep while the other plugs away. And all of a sudden, it happens. The detective, he finds the clue, that one sentence in the one file. He jumps up and shouts, "We've solved it!" So in that scenario, who gets the credit for solving the case? Probably not the guy who fell asleep. Probably the guy who found the clue that cracked the case wide open. Now, I want you to imagine with me the same scenario. It's a cold case, and there's two hardworking detectives with lots of paper and lots of coffee. And they both fall asleep after a long day, and someone walks into the room while they're sleeping. That person grabs a file, opens it, highlights a key sentence, and leaves it there on the table in front of them and walks away. One of the detectives bolts awake, and he sees the clue right in front of him. We solved the case! In this scenario, who gets the credit for solving the case? The detectives put in long hours and worked very hard. But without that person coming in and highlighting that sentence, they would have not solved the case. God is the deciding factor in our understanding and living out Scripture. That's my sermon today. God is the deciding factor in our understanding and living out Scripture. He hasn't left us to ourselves. And that's why the author prays throughout the psalm for help in understanding, loving, and obeying Scripture. So I want to go to a few other places in the Bible where this is unpacked. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, listen to how God helps us first understand the gospel. And even if our gospel is veiled, can't see it, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So, if you're not saved, you're blinded by Satan. You can't see the light of the gospel. Verse 5, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, that's referring back to creation when he says, let there be light. So, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So for us to understand the gospel, God is the deciding factor. He must shine his light into our hearts so that we can see Jesus. And that doesn't stop. Every day, for us to understand, obey, and delight in God's word, we must have God intervene. We need God to take the blinders off so that we can see him in his word. Now, let's stop here and say, when we talk about God giving us understanding and God helping us to delight in his word, it's not like we sit back in our armchairs and say, okay, God, I'm not going to read today. Just kind of zap me with what I need to know. No, we read, we study, we meditate, we pray, we obey with our whole hearts and ask God to help us. One of my favorite verses about our work and God's work in understanding Scripture is 2 Timothy 2:7. 2 Timothy 2:7, the Apostle Paul is giving instructions to Timothy, and then he stops and says this, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So, like Timothy, every Christian can have confidence about this. If you give yourself to meditating on Scripture, God will give you understanding. So give yourself to it and ask God for understanding. So I want to conclude today with a story from Mark chapter 8. In the Gospel of Mark, well, all the Gospels, the disciples struggle to understand Jesus and his teaching. Now, I think that we're a little bit hard on the disciples. We're like, these guys are idiots. Why don't they get it? It's like clear as day. Why can't they see who Jesus is? And I think as I grow as a Christian, I find myself more and more like the disciples in the Gospels. But thankfully, as the Gospel of Mark goes on, the disciples slowly begin to understand, just like us today. Now, there's a crucial turn in the book of Mark, right around chapter 8. And Peter finally sees that Jesus is the Savior promised in the Old Testament, the Messiah. He gets it. It's like this highlight in the middle of the Gospel of Mark. Now, right before that happens, right before like the blinders come off Peter's eyes, there's a short account of Jesus healing a blind man. Now, Mark, we went through Mark when I first got here, but when we read through Mark, Mark will put these short miracle story accounts to prove a point, to teach us something. That's what he's doing here. So let me read that short story for you. Then Jesus came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him. and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands on them. He asked him if he saw anything. He looked up and said, "I see men like trees walking." Then Jesus put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. So maybe you feel like a blind man when it comes to Jesus. Like, talking about delighting and obeying God's word, and it's just like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Coming to church, reading the Bible, just seems like a religious formality. It's a good thing to do, but your heart's not in it. There's no understanding, delight, or obedience. If that's where you are today, I would encourage you, ask Jesus to open your eyes. Ask Jesus to open your eyes. And that's a prayer he will answer. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, let's be honest. We often are like the man after Jesus touched his eyes once. We're like looking, things are blurry. We see, is that a tree walking around? Or I'm not sure what's happening. We don't see things perfectly. That's why we need another touch from Jesus. We are just like the bumbling disciples who followed Jesus around. We're with the right guy. Praise the Lord. We're with the right guy. We're with Jesus. But we often miss the point. So I think it's a good way to describe Christian discipleship. Man, we're following the right person, but we often miss the point. So if you feel like that way today, I do too. That's a good place to be. Ask Jesus to help you see. That's a prayer he loves to answer. Pray, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your work in our lives. Thank you that for us who believe that you have shown your light into our hearts so that we can see Jesus. And we ask for your continuing work that we may see. Lord, thank you that we have Jesus. We're with the right person. But Lord, help us. Help us to see that we miss the point oftentimes. Help us to stay with Jesus, and I pray that he would open our eyes. We pray in his name. Amen.